Mary says, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, most of you have either been, most or all, a teenager or engaged in the past, one of those two things. Mary just happens to be both at this point in the story, but we can all relate to her on some level. So I want you to put yourself back in those shoes, the shoes of Mary. Someone tells you that something's going to change your life. Completely and utterly change it. This change is going to cause rumors. People are going to think that you cheated on your significant other. Your significant other may think that you cheated on them. As I think about that in my own life, it terrifies me. If God said, "Hey, I have an important task for you. I have a role for you, a part in my story, but everyone's going to think that you were unfaithful to BJ." And she might think that too. That would fill me with anxiety. How would I respond? I don't know always. So looking at these verses, I think we can safely say that Mary was in a bit of a storm. The fears and worries swirling around could have easily overwhelmed her. And yet it's in her response that we can learn how to experience peace in our own storm. Move on to the next bit of text. We're going to read verses 35 to 38. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. First, Mary is reminded of God's power. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth was able to bear a child as well. It had nothing to do with anything that she did. It was completely independent of her very limited human power. The angel reminded her that nothing is impossible with God. And so as we are faced with news story after news story and political arguments between family members and all things that make you wonder what is going on in our world, we need to be reminded that God is in control. And the Bible is full of examples of this. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9 says, sorry, I'm going to read Deuteronomy, never mind. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." In the Psalms we read, Psalm 73, verse 26, "My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." Psalm 125, verse 2, "Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever." And as I said, Isaiah 55, we're circling back. Verses 8 and 9 say, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." We are not meant to face the things that bring us fear on our own. God is with us. In fact, the birth of our Savior is in itself a clear reminder of this fact. Matthew 1, verse 23 says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And as we remind ourselves of that, that God is with us, Emmanuel, we can move into fully relying on him. In verse 38, we see Mary's response to the whole thing. the news that her world is crashing around her and the promise that God is in control, they're now coming head to head. And she has 100 possible ways to answer the question, what now? And it says she responded in this way. I'm going to read Luke 1, verse 38 again. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. May it be to me as you have said. I think this is another way of saying, your will be done. And I think we've gotten pretty good at praying for God's will to be done. I think we've gotten really good at wanting what he says to be done in our lives, at least on an intellectual level. Translating that so it comes from our hearts is something else, though. Really desiring his will, putting aside our ways for his ways with our entire being, that's not always easy, at least for me. Because I think sometimes we get caught up in the short term. When we think of God's good plan for us, we imagine things like promotions and financial stability and perfect relationships, reliable vehicles, and an abundance of food stocked up in our own warm and cozy homes. And many of us will certainly experience these things, but we are surely not entitled to them. If God told you that none of these things were part of his plan for you, would you still pray for his will to be done? If God told you that your life was going to change forever in a way that could destroy the relationship with your fiancé, would you say, may it be to me as you have said? If God told you that you would be betrayed, falsely arrested, rejected, tortured, humiliated, and executed, would you pray for his will and not your own? God does have a wonderful, perfect plan for you, but it's not always in the way that you expect. Our job is to fully trust and rely on his strength and wisdom. And though he doesn't give us a complete roadmap detailing every step and stop of these plans, he does give us something to grab hold of, to grasp onto, like he did with Mary. Luke 1, 46 to 55. This is known as Mary's song, and this is what we read this morning as an Advent reading. Mary responded, Oh, how my soul praises the Lord! How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior! For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. So this is Mary's song. This is what she sings. This is how she rejoices. See, even though Mary couldn't completely understand God's plan for her, she did know some things about his character. His unchanging character that can be seen in the Old Testament and the New Testament and in our lives today. God is our Savior. He's a rescuer. He is not content to have us receive the just punishment for our sins, but he would reach out and offer us a lifeline. God doesn't care about our status. He uses people in all positions, whether society says they're valuable or not. When necessary, he dethrones people in power and lifts up the humble. God is great. His power is unfathomable, and all things are possible through him. He performs in mighty ways that are beyond our understanding. God is holy. He is He's not the best of us or the best of a pantheon of gods. He is completely and utterly set apart in an entirely different league. God is merciful. He forgives us again and again and again. Our rebellious acts should earn us separation from him, but he has endless mercy on those who love him. God is a provider. He looks after our physical needs and our spiritual needs. Everything that we have is from him. And God is a promise keeper. He has promised to be with us forever, and he will never go back on that promise. And so, we see Mary proclaim these things about God. She sings these in his song, in her song. She knows these characteristics to be true, and she lifts them up to him in heaven. She rejoices in who he is. And this is vital for us to experience practical peace, because worship is not an activity where we are the only participants. As we engage in a time of lifting up God's name and proclaiming who he is at work as well. He is working in us while we worship. He is changing us, ingraining in our hearts the things we sing and say. As we rejoice in who God is, his character becomes harder and harder to forget. His goodness and holiness and mercifulness become impossible to lose sight of. As we rejoice in who God is, we automatically remind ourselves that he is in control. And as we rejoice in who God is, it becomes easier to rely on his strength and his wisdom and his perfect plan for us. And that's when we experience practical peace. When we stop trying to hold on to everything so tightly and control everything around us, and stop relying on ourselves or our bosses or parents or pastors or teachers, healthcare workers, or our government to solve the countless social, physical, economic, and mental issues that come with living in a global pandemic. And when we stop doing whatever else it is that we're doing that gets in the way of our rejoicing in who God is, the God who cares for us and loves us, that's when we can really experience peace, the peace that only comes with Jesus in our lives. Lord, thank you that you have sent your Son and you have provided a way for us to experience peace, God. You remind us countless times in your word that we are not alone, that you are in control, Lord. I just pray that you would remind us as well that you are in control. Remind us in our daily lives that we would learn to rely on you and to rejoice in who you are, God. God, I pray that over us this week, that we would continue to turn to you in the times when we don't understand your plan, that we would turn to your character and know that you are good, you are merciful, you're just, you're a provider, a promise keeper, and a savior. There's nothing we can do that can solve our own plan, that can figure out our own life, but I pray that we would turn to you every time we feel anxious and worried and fearful and frustrated and just overwhelmed by this world, God. Lord, I pray this in your holy name. Amen. I'm going to invite the worship team up to lead us in another song.